Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We sure do talk a lot about rights these days. Lots of conversations about rights, my individual rights, my human rights, rights. And that's important. But why don't we talk about agreements? Because agreements are also important. Instead of talking about agreements, we're talking about rights. We're talking about things that we feel like we're owed, things that we feel we deserve, things that we feel that we are entitled to. But we almost never talk about the thing that binds it all together. We never talk about the thing that's absolutely required for this whole enterprise to work, for this whole program to keep functioning. Something must be there. What is it? Is it human rights? No, it's the social contract. It's not a law. It's not a written document. It's not something that you vote on or you vote against. It's an understanding. It's an agreement that says, I will restrain myself so we can all live better. I, as an individual, will not do everything that I want to do all the time, every day, so that we can have a reciprocal relationship. We can have a social contract, an agreement, so we can all live better. It's pretty simple. You, as an individual, give up some freedom in exchange for order, trust, and stability. We don't want chaos. I don't think any of us want chaos, yet we sure do find ourselves living in very chaotic times. Think about it. You don't drive wherever you want. You don't take whatever you can. You don't act on every single impulse that comes across your brain. And you don't do those things because you're weak. You do it because chaos is really expensive. The social contract is the reason that the roads work, traffic works, that the markets function, that families persist, that cooperation beats force. It's us coming together as civilized society and saying, we're going to delay now because we'll benefit later. That's a pretty meaningful, weighty concept. And it's not present everywhere. And we need to remind ourselves of that, of how important that is. Delayed gratification, going without, because we know that winter is coming and that we have to be prepared for whatever is going to come our way. If it is actually a snowstorm or fire or whatever, something's coming, we need to be ready. And here's the problem, is that we've kept the benefits of the contract but gotten rid of those things that we consider them to be burdens. So we want security without discipline. We want respect without any form of contribution. We want great outcomes without putting in effort. And of course, we want freedom without restraint. And then when things don't go quite the way that we want, we start blaming our institutions, our leaders, the systems, history, anything except the one variable that we have control over, ourselves. Ourselves. We've forgotten that every contract, every social contract, has a precursor. It's an internal contract. So before you can ask society as a whole to function, before you can ask other people to be reasonable, before you can ask institutions to be fair, there's a harder question that has to be asked. Am I governable? Can I restrain myself? Can I delay gratification in my own life? Can I be relied on when nobody else is paying attention or watching, because society cannot be more disciplined than the people living inside of it. So this is where we stop talking about them and start talking about you. The smartest people who have ever commented on this kind of stuff certainly didn't argue for chaos. They argued for self-legislation. It's not anything goes. It's I choose my standards and then I live up to them. That's the internal social contract. It's a voluntary agreement with yourself. And that's really important. It's a voluntary agreement with yourself. This isn't somebody forcing you, compelling you, making you do it. Because that doesn't work. This has to come from you and I. Has to come from everyone that says, I'm not going to do stuff that weakens me. I'm going to do things that actually strengthen me. I will carry weight rather than discard it. I will aim upward, not just sideways or even down. And it's not because somebody is forcing me. It's because that's the kind of person that I've decided that I am, that I want to be. So this idea of this internal social contract, this reality of an internal social contract, it's kind of abstract, but I think it's really pretty easy when you start breaking it down. And so I think about it in terms of these six key areas of our life. It's family, community, your work and your money, your well-being, your personal development, and then your peace of mind. And then I think of it in terms of your MVRs, your most valuable resources of time, energy, attention, and money. So how do you map and look at how you are allocating and thinking about and being a good steward of your resources within each one of those six areas? So with family, the contract could be, I'm reliable before I am impressive. So some of these behaviors are, I show up when it's inconvenient. I show up and do what must be done, even though I'm tired. I am emotionally regulating. I'm self-regulating my emotions. I'm not just reacting constantly. I repair when I am responsible and cause harm. And I recognize in terms of my MVRs that with time, being fully present in the amount of time that I have is better than just being around for a really long time, that my intention, and I think, and I know that your undivided attention is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to another person. So being locked in with those people around you, like you put your phone down when you're around your family and the people you care about, with your energy, it's you're deciding where to apply it, and therefore you are investing it. Recognize that you must have some gas in the tank after a long day at work to be able to give to your family. And then from a financial standpoint, we make sure that we're creating a stable environment rather than just an indulgent one where we're constantly chasing the financial forms of dopamine, which is short-term fun, but long-term destructive. Going through the drive-thru all the time, it's way more expensive than just eating at home, but it feels good in the moment. You feel like you're doing something good for your kids, but you're not really creating a stable environment.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through Geico, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
So obviously, when you are fully or rather physically present, but not psychologically present, well, then it's a violation of the contract that you've just made with yourself for your family. For the community, these are the people around you that are not your immediate family. It's your network, people you care for. The contract in that example could be something along the lines of, I will contribute more than I criticize. It sure is easy to criticize the man or the woman in the arena who is out there trying to make it happen. Really easy to tear things down, really hard to build. And you look around society, that's a big one, isn't it? A lot of critics interested in tearing the whole thing, burning the thing to the ground, taking it down to the studs, maybe all the way to the ground, with really no desire, or perhaps a desire, but no real capability of building something that is of value or of substance. That's everywhere. That's all we see. People saying, all this stuff is crap. Let's get rid of it. But my ideas, they've never really been tested, never really worked, but maybe this time. So we have to build instead of complaining. We have to participate instead of just watching from the sidelines. And we have to respect the shared norms that we have. In terms of your MVRs here, it's actually service. It's not just opinion. So it's an investment of time in form of service, not just your posting on social media or whatever it is that's going on. From an attention standpoint, it is being focused on what truly matters versus just being pissed off all the time. So it's being localized, focused versus just some form of abstract outrage. From an energy perspective, it's making sure that you are delivering constructive effort in service. And it's money. You want to support what you want to survive. That's pretty simple. So, violation of that contract with your community is that outrage without any responsibility. And social media has given us that ability to do that. A lot of hashtags, a lot of standing with, but not a lot of, what's the term? Putting your money where your mouth is, or actually showing up and being an advocate versus just being an activist all the time. For your work and your money, the contract is, I will be useful and not just busy. So you need to develop valuable skills. What would it take for you to be the best in the world at what you do? Have you ever thought about that? Does that sound crazy to you? Maybe it is, but why not approach your work in that fashion? Do work that's additive, that actually compounds, and honor whatever commitments that you make. So from a resources perspective, you need to invest in becoming a master of your craft. You need to go deep instead of just wide. We need to be very directed in how we are expending and allocating our energy and start viewing money as stored energy, not just some form of emotional relief. So, how do we violate that contract? Well, that's when you start demanding some kind of a reward without creating any value. In free market, the market will dictate the amount of value that you are providing. And more often than not, that can be a painful thing, but that's where it's at. From a well-being perspective, the contract could be something along the lines of, I choose capability over being comfortable. And from a meaningful few, or rather from a behavior standpoint, we could be talking about things like making sure that you're physically strengthening yourself. I mean, gravity is pulling us into the earth at all times. We are constantly fighting against it. It is literally pulling us into the earth. And at some point, it will win. But the challenge and the opportunity and the, for lack of a better term, game is to make gravity's job a lot harder. So, what else? Well, we need to focus on putting good inputs in the form of good, healthy food that actually sustains us and strengthens versus just entertains us through some form of mouth pleasure, which is great. I like to eat things that are delicious. But 80% of the stuff I eat is just practical, more so than fun. And of course, I need to be able to sleep and, recover. So, all these things are so important. So, you're allocating your resources based on what I just talked about. It's training and recovery. You need to invest in that. It's making sure that you are putting into your brain, in the form of your attention, stuff that strengthens and not just that rots. I mean, there's something called actual brain rot that I catch my kids checking out sometimes. I said, it's called brain rot? Wow, amazing. But that being said, I remember when I was a kid, we had something called garbage pail kids or something like that. Remember those? They were ridiculous. I actually am probably going to go look those up again when we're done, or when I wrap this episode up, because they're pretty funny. I'm sure that they're terrible. Garbage Pail Kids, Garbage Can Kids, something like that. It was in the 80s, the 1980s. Anyway, your energy, you know, when we're working hard and doing things that we enjoy, that we've gotten good at because we've invested time, that's very restorative. And that's an interesting thing. It's this idea of flow state, and there's a massive business case for it, because when you're doing things at a high level that you like doing, it actually does give you more energy. It's actually energizing versus zapping, because we can all point to different activities that we must do or feel like we must do that are absolutely soul crushing and not any fun at all. And then financially, we need to invest in our health. So, and have evidence that I am actually investing financially in those things that are going to help me to be more physically strong and able. And we violate our contract when we start treating our body like it has no memory at all. Like today is a brand new day, and the days that led up to this day and this moment don't count. Because of course they do. Because as we know, our bodies keep receipts. So from a personal development standpoint, a contract could be something along the lines of, I'm going to tell myself the truth. I'm not going to lie to myself. So we need to be able to engage in honest self-assessment. I need to be able to confront weaknesses and explore and look for blind spots that I have. And I need to embrace incremental improvement, because if I'm not where I'm at in life, I cannot snap my fingers and all of a sudden be there. No matter how much we would like to be able to simply snap our fingers and be there, there is no magic pill for doing the things that... Wait, there's a magic pill now for losing weight, isn't there? Shoot. But of course, there's trade-offs there too, and we all know it. So from a resources perspective, we need to take time to reflect on things and to ponder, not to ruminate, but to reflect, and then to take action on how we've made good decisions. We've assessed what's been going on. We made some kind of a hypothesis. We put the scientific method to work. I said, I think that this will work. I'm going to try it. How did it go? Well, it worked or it didn't work. I need to engage in reality versus fantasy. It's okay to, you know, get lost in a good show or a book or whatever, but we cannot allow the version of reality that we want to become the version of reality that actually is. Because that's when we really mess things up. When I try to map my desired version of reality onto what the real world actually looks like. From an energy perspective, I need to just be focused on things that are going to help me grow and realize my potential. And from a money standpoint, you know, invest in real tools, not gimmicky crap, because there's plenty of gimmicky crap out there. We violate this contract with ourselves when we are just constantly consuming inspiration without actually ever getting to work. To begin. And we know millions of people, you know them, I know them. They're just educated derelicts, people that have every opportunity in the world and all the talent in the world and all the resources, but just can't put it together for whatever reason. Finally, peace of mind. Man, without any order, we constantly live in chaos. And if we're constantly living in chaos, that's just going to show up in every aspect of our lives. So we need to earn our calm, though, and we earn it through order. We need to keep promises to ourselves. We need to reduce cognitive debt by addressing stuff that is just stuck with us and that we're bothered by. We have to align our actions with those things that are most important to us. I mean, if you know, this is the stuff that matters most, this is what's most important to me, and every day, these are the things that I have to do to get those things. And then you either do them or you don't. And if you don't, then you're going to recognize immediately that you're deceiving yourself. You're going to recognize that, oh, I'm not keeping the promises that I made to myself. I'm not doing the things that I said were the most important things. And this is easy to do. And none of it's a game of perfect. I'm not saying you have to be perfect at all of this all the time, but we need to get it about 80% right. So how do we do that? Well, I think you having fewer obligations that you actually honor, that's really what I'm talking about, is I said I was going to do these three things today, and I did them. And you can look back and say, wow, the last 7 days, last week, I did everything I told myself I would do. Oh, look at that. Over the last month, every day, or most of the time, I did all the things that I told myself I was going to do. What happens? Well, you're proving to yourself you're somebody who's worthy and able to honor commitments. That's an amazing thing. So we focus on the things that we can control and not just focus on the chaos that's being shoved down our throat all the time. I'm not wasting my energy on resentment. I appreciate that when I'm financially secure, that leads to peace of mind. Money is certainly not going to buy happiness or whatever. But I tell you what, being super broke and drowning in debt, that creates misery. So let's go for the thing that says, money's not going to create happiness. Well, let's find financial peace of mind first and then get on the path to financial prosperity. And I bet doing those things will, in fact, lead to happiness. If you're in credit card debt, drowning in debt up to your eyeballs, living paycheck to paycheck, you figure out what's necessary to get out of debt, to find financial security, to get an emergency fund set up, to start saving and investing money for your future. You do that, it takes you a year, 2 years. Well, you're going to be a happy person because you're going to learn so many new skills. You're going to make promises to yourself and you're going to keep those promises. And that doesn't make you a happy person. I don't know what will. Well, that's probably too sweeping a claim, but you get the idea. So, civilization begins when restraint becomes voluntary. Civilization begins when restraint becomes voluntary. Again, none of it works through coercion. It's not through force. This exercise in self-government relies on the social contract. And your peace of mind begins when your standards begin. We don't need you to be perfect, but we need you to be as strong as you possibly can be. We need you to constantly be striving and pushing and trying and endeavoring to become better. That's a social contract. What I'm really talking about here is the whole theme of the show, which is you do your part by doing your best. So when you start doing your best, you start becoming the best possible version of you. That means you're doing your part to honor the social contract. If you don't, well, then you're violating it. You are subtractive versus additive. And everything costs. Everything costs. If you're wildly unhealthy, you're placing a massive strain on the healthcare system. And if you're wildly unhealthy because of some outside circumstance, well, that's a whole nother thing. But if it's because you eat terrible food and you have a horrible lifestyle and you don't sleep and you're consuming garbage, well, that's a violation of the social contract. If you're broke and you never save any money, you get older, you can't work anymore, and then you're financially reliant on everybody else, that's a violation of the social contract. If your mental health is so poor that you are walking around and you're a menace to everybody else, well, that's obviously a violation of the social contract. And the reality of all of it is we are headed in the wrong direction. With in every key area, key indicator, every important aspect that makes civilization an effective functioning civilization, we're messing it up. And the way out is not from the top down. It's from the bottom up. It's from you and I. It's from you and I becoming the best possible versions of ourselves, becoming as strong as we possibly can become. And that's how everything turns around. That's how we get moving in the right direction. And that's how we find the success that we're looking for as individuals and then collectively. So once again, do your part by doing your best.